Well, the second fruit in the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the gift of joy, or the fruit of joy. And it's not a feeling. It's a reality. It's not just a feeling. C.S. Lewis, who is becoming very popular right now with a lot of people because of the Chronicles of Narnia being made into a movie, he said this. He called joy the serious business of heaven. Now, that's an interesting way of looking at it. In fact, he named his book, his autobiography of his conversion from atheism to Christianity, he named the book Surprised by Joy. Surprised by Joy. And here's what he said in that book. He said, all joy reminds. It is never a possession. Always a desire for something longer ago or further away or still about to be. A little bit elusive, isn't it, what joy really is? Well, there's a collective remembrance of joy, the lost joy of the Garden of Eden, the lost paradise. Pursuing that lost joy, I believe, takes up a lot of the activity on the earth. The business of earth is looking after that lost joy, trying to find it again. And it is a great advertisement for heaven, because that's the business, the serious business of heaven is joy. Well, Jesus, when he came, he preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And joy was coming. Joy was coming. Something, a desire for something still about to be, as C.S. Lewis said. Well, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? And this passage that I read at the beginning, I'll read again, but some think it's a routine. Some people think the kingdom of God is a routine of religious ritual, or a list of cultural scruples that you have to keep. These are commands. They've been put together by a religious body somewhere in time, and we have to keep these things. That's what the kingdom of God is. No. In Romans chapter 14, where this passage I'm going to read comes from, Paul describes why that's not true, why that's not the case. He said that some people do follow certain things. They eat in certain ways, or they observe one day more than another. And some people observe every day alike. You know, they would say, whether I go to church on Sunday or whether I go to church on Wednesday night, it's the same to me. And Paul says that's not bad to have that. Each person has it to their own conscience. Or some people, they say, I can't eat meat. I feel it's wrong to eat meat. And other people eat meat freely and have no problem with it. Well, here's what Paul says. He brings this all to a conclusion by giving a definition. This could be the definition of the kingdom of God. The definition cuts through all the religiosity, and it gives us reality. And here's what it is. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. In other words, not a cultural observance of something, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. What humanity really wants and needs is the kingdom of God. What was lost in Eden, what is being searched for here on the earth, is in the kingdom of God. It's there. It's there. Jesus brought it. Now, our nation's founders, they translated that definition of the kingdom of God using some terms. They said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, it's interesting. To have life, you need to have a safe and a healthy environment, or a place where there is peace, right? Jesus said, or the kingdom of God is, righteousness, peace, and joy. No, you have to have that peace. But Jesus gave a new definition to peace, that when the safe environment's gone, the safety is gone, the health is gone, the peace can still be there. Because he said this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be joyful. I have overcome the world. I have overcome those circumstances. You can have joy. Be joyful. Be glad. Be cheerful. I have overcome the world. To have liberty, which is part of that definition for our forefathers, American forefathers, gave us. To have liberty, you need justice. You need justice that is enforced by equitable laws. Laws that prevent wrong, you know, and promote right, you know. And to have what it's really talking about is righteousness. The standard of righteousness. And I tell you, when that drops in a country, it doesn't matter what court system you have, if righteousness is forgotten, then your court system is flushed down the tube. It's no good. You have to have a standard of righteousness. Well, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus again says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you're looking for will be added unto you. Now, for the pursuit of happiness, what you need for the pursuit of happiness is what? It's what no government anywhere on earth can ever give you. Now, the pursuit of happiness, they want you to be able to have it, but happiness you're not going to get unless you have something else. What we are after in the pursuit of happiness is really the lost joy. The joy that we should have kept in the Garden of Eden and had all this life, but now it's available in the kingdom of God. To find that joy, it's really beyond happiness. No, happiness is a feeling. But joy is actually the fulfillment of your true purpose. That is actually true happiness, too. The fulfillment of your true purpose in this life. Now, only in the kingdom of God, only in God's kingdom, where there is life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness translated into the terms of peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the only place where our true purpose is fulfilled. It's explained to us, too. And then it is allowed to be fulfilled through the power of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer was asked if he had a choice to take one of two things, if you only have one or the other, either happiness or truth. He said, I'll choose truth. Because happiness is a feeling. And truth brings you purpose. And purpose brings you joy if you fulfill your purpose. Well, the Holy Spirit cultivates these fruits of the Spirit. He cultivates these fruits and he equips Christians with these so that they can serve the Lord. So that they can serve him in the kingdom of God. We call it kingdom service. So embracing spiritual joy, is a way of serving Christ as King of our lives. That song we sing, Joy in Serving Jesus, it's more than a gospel song. It describes the way that we're supposed to live. Anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man. That's what it says in the passage that we just read from Romans. Anyone who serves God out through this area of peace, righteousness, and through joy. It sounds strange, but joy is a way of serving Jesus because it describes how we are to live out our faith. Well, the spiritual fruit of joy advertises some spiritual facts. That's why it's a form of service. It advertises to the world some spiritual facts. And fact number one, there may be others, I have three of them here, but fact number one is that what it does, it brings real joy by the business that Jesus is into. What real joy comes by the business that Jesus is involved in. And what business is he involved in? What is the serious business of heaven? Well, the serious business of heaven is the salvation of lost souls. That's what it is for us on this planet. It's the business of salvation of lost souls, the finding and the saving of lost souls. Listen to what Jesus said. This is from Luke chapter 15. He gave these two parables. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, everyone in this room have lost something and then found it again, and weren't you delighted? Weren't you just overjoyed? Sometimes you said, "Oh, I've been looking for it for a long time, and look, I found it. Look, you want other people to rejoice with you, don't you? Or how many of you have been driving somewhere and you're totally lost? You don't even know the direction to get back. And suddenly, someone finds you, and you find someone and say, "Hey, how do you get?" And they just turn that corner, and then you're back on. Aren't you just happy? Aren't you just delighted? Well, how much greater our joy when it's our eternal soul that has been found, and that we are maybe going in the wrong direction, but now we are in the right direction, going to spend together with God together for eternity. That is so wonderful. That's the thing of joy. That's the business of heaven. And it's a joy to share with others. It's something you want to talk about. It's something you want to say, "Hey, this is wonderful. I was a lost soul and I'm found. Hey, I was going in the wrong direction. Now I'm going to heaven." It's something to share. That's a spiritual faith that's advertising spiritual facts. Well, fact number two. What brings real joy is the presence of the King. Both as a present reality now and also in the future. Because, you know, Jesus said to his disciples in John 22, that same passage we're quoting from, he said this about his departure and then about his resurrection. He said, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Now, that joy that they had in seeing the resurrected Jesus, that is our joy too, but it is an anticipated joy. You see, we haven't seen Jesus yet. Now, I know there are people who have visions and so on. Well, I haven't had one of those visions, but I want to see him. And you know something? That's something that all Christians share, that joy, and we've written a lot of songs about it. Because when we get to heaven, why, what makes heaven heaven is that the King of heaven is there. And we want to see him. And there's a song that we haven't sung here, and I don't have actually the printed out music for it, but, "Oh, I want to see him." And here's the chorus. "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice." Now, isn't that a beautiful song? How many know that song? Heard it before? "Oh, I want to see him." Well, we'll have to maybe find the music for it and bring it here. Well, we don't have to wait for heaven. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit given to all believers, brings the presence of our King. So heaven came down and glory filled our soul. That's also from the song. But he dwells in our hearts. We have the present promise of the anticipated joy. And so we can be joyful in this life right now. Fact number three. What brings real joy is our obedience to the King. Our obedience to the King. The kingdom of God, where we say joy, which is actually joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God means that there is a real king. And a real king has to be obeyed. Now you have to think about that. We often say Jesus is king. Well, that means he's really the king. He must be obeyed. The law of the king must be obeyed. You must follow the king. Now, what government is better than where the ruler is perfect in wisdom and justice and love? There's no place like that on earth. That is what we are all like to be for our government. But it's not. It's never been that way, and it never will be, because it only exists in the government where Jesus is the king. And we belong to that. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our obedience to Christ as our King is actually a divine joy. It is a divine joy. Jesus said in John 15, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Your joy. You know, other religions do talk about happiness, but they don't talk about joy, because joy is different. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is a reality, a presence in your life. It is something. It's why C.S. Lewis says he was surprised by joy. He had had happiness and he had lost it, and he had had it again and lost it, and had it again and lost it. But joy promised something more. Joy came to stay in Christ. Paul Sailhammer, who was a friend of Chuck Swindoll, said that joy is that deep, settled confidence that God is in control of every area of my life. Even when things go wrong, you know, we give God control when we make him king and say, "Lord, you are the king." And we show that allegiance. We show that allegiance to him through obedience. In one of her poems, Amy Carmichael wrote, "Oh, never, never let us be as those who have not heard the voice that calls to us perpetually, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice." Christians have to choose joy. They do so by embracing the joy that comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to put joy into our lives, and we must rejoice. We must step out and rejoice, even in the midst of trial and hardship. You know, happiness comes and goes by happenstance. That's why it's called happiness. It's happenstance. It just happens. And then it can go. And then it can come. It comes and goes. But joy comes and stays as a fruit that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, plants in our lives and nurtures by that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's because we decide to make Jesus the King of our lives and keep him as King every day. Make him, put him on the throne every day. How many of you remember Joey Brown, comedian? Okay, you remember that loud? He did his mouth over it and made that loud. Well, I don't know what he was doing, but it made a really loud, you know, sound in his voice. Well, anyway, I remember that when I was a kid. I don't know much about Joey Brown, but he said this: "I have no understanding of a long-faced Christian. If God is anything, he must be joy." Joey Brown said that. Embracing spiritual joy is a way of serving Jesus. Because what it does, it advertises just such a God of joy as Joe E. Brown was looking for. And that we should be showing forth to the world. God is the joy that C.S. Lewis was missing in his life. And he found when he found Christ. And it says, if anyone serves Christ in this way, he is pleasing to God and approved by men. Jesus wants us to bear fruit in our Christian life, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of that, the very special fruit, is this fruit of joy. Rejoice, it says in the Bible. And again I say, rejoice. And I'm going to keep on saying it again and again. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these great hymns that we have that talk about rejoicing. Thank you for the scriptures and the psalms that talk about rejoicing. And thank you, Lord, for this definition that comes right straight out of the Bible, what joy really is. It's the kingdom of God. It's the reign of Christ in our hearts. I pray, Father God, that we will truly give you full control of our lives so that our joy might be complete. We pray in Jesus' name.